a roast beef flavored vodka.
Oh man, I don't want that to be a flavor. I hate it.
For this move to happen, you had to okay it. What was attractive about coming to the Minnesota Wild?
It's a good team, you know. It'll be in the playoffs, right, to make compete for the cup later on. Of time, right? It's only a few weeks, so I think it's important to jump right in, you know, and try to feel it as comfortable as you can, you know, right away.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Podcast. We're your hosts today, TJ, Zach, and Raj.
Hey there.
Hey, hey, hey.
So we got a trade deadline special. We're talking trades and trends today. First of all, what a trade deadline that was. Still coming through the pipeline. It ended at 3, and it's like 10:22 p.m. right now. And we don't know if Evgeny Dadonov is traded or not.
Yeah, we don't even know if it's done.
I think Ryan Kesler had Vegas on his no trade list or something, but it's just not making sense at this point. But anyway, we're Five Hole Fantasy Hockey. You guys can find us on Twitter at FHF Hockey or in the Fantasy Hockey Discord. We're talking trades today. We're talking trends. Let's kick it off with the trades. That is the big ticket item going on today, man. Should we do injuries at this point? I think there's only like two or three since yesterday, our latest episode.
Jonathan Dahlin out with face.
Right.
Robert Thomas has a show that he has to play.
He's unwell right now. Rasmus Sandin's going to be out for a while. RNH should be back this week. Arvidsson's going to start practicing with the team. We're looking at, you know, maybe the next week or two.
Tony D just came back. All right, trades are done.
Done. Let's get into trades here. We're going to start off, now that we got everybody here, let's just real quick go over the trades. This is the trade deadline special. We'll talk about all the trades, however brief. Giroux to Florida. Raj, I think you missed it when Zach and I were talking Giroux to Florida, but like, what's your read on this one? Before we got on the air, you said you didn't like it so much.
No, I like it for him, and I like it for him in fantasy. I just don't personally like it. I wanted to see him go to Colorado, that's all. It's like Florida is stacked, and no matter where he goes, he's going to do better than he was doing in Philly. So I like it that way. I just meant to, I just don't like it like it. You know.
Yeah, I don't mind it. They're a fun team. Like,
yeah, they are. They are.
I decided wherever Giroux goes, that's the team I'm rooting for the rest of the way, and I'm not displeased. Like, if he went to St. Louis, I would have feel some type of way. That's one of the teams I don't particularly care for.
I had this want to see him play with McKinnon on a power play for some reason. That's what I was really wanting to see.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we get him to see him play with Barkov on a power play.
And Huberdeau.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good for everybody but Duclair. Yeah, he's been on the top power play.
Sorry, Duke. We'll get to you in a second.
Well, let's do it right now. I mean, he's been on the power play, the top power play since he came back from injury like 34 games ago. Has 30 points since then, 13 of them on the power play. If he gets knocked off that power play, that's going to be a lot of his production. I already dropped Duclair, I think, just to stream based on these 5 days that they have off. But like, should I be looking to pick him back up? What do you guys think with Duclair? Is he the drop? Is it too early?
I actually do kind of like him for a stream right now. Now, I'm not saying pick him up and hold him, but I mean, anybody in that top six, I feel like is going to be viable. So I think he could still turn into a mainstay, but not having that top power play unit is really going to hurt his production.
That's what keeps him from being a hold. Like right now, like you're saying, he's a stream. If he had top power play, he's a hold. At least that's the way I read it.
One thing I find odd is that his time on ice is just so like up and down. It's like a fucking roller coaster. But no matter what, it doesn't matter if he gets 13 minutes a game or 20 minutes a game. This motherfucker gets 3 shots on goal. Like, does he just stop shooting after 13 minutes?
I think it's written into his contract. No more, no less, every game.
I don't get it.
What do you think, Raj, on Duclair?
Well, I pretty much agree with you guys. For me, it just depends on the power play. I mean, as with a couple of these trades that have happened, it's going to be hard to say because their team's so versatile. But if he's a great stream, and yeah, if he locks in a power play one, I just find it hard to believe on that team that the fifth part is going to ever be really locked in because they have so many options.
Yeah, that tier two on that team is huge.
power play two isn't too shabby. So, so either way.
Yeah. Well, not bad. All right. Vetrano to the Rangers. Hagel to Tampa. We've already discussed these in previous episodes, but Giordano to Toronto. That has, that's taken a turn. So, you know, I thought maybe he would share power play two with Sandin, but Sandin's out for a while. So Giordano is going to get power play two. What do you think? Like, does his value go up from Seattle? Does it stay the same? Does it go down? What do you really think here?
I mean, I think it's obviously going to go up.
You think so? But like enough?
His value, Giordano's value, it's going to go up.
By enough?
His deployment's going to kind of go down, but his value is going to go up, right? Because he was the man in Seattle. He's not in Toronto, but I think he's just, he was surrounded by garbage in Seattle and Toronto. It's kind of similar to Florida. Like, deployment matters, but less, right? It's not like just, you're always surrounded by people who can score. And yeah, especially if Sandin's out, that's, they're not going to hesitate to go to Giordano, especially before, when they're trying to get some stability, which has been Toronto's issue. I agree with Zach. I think it's power play one, power play two, no power play. I still think Giordano's in a better spot.
There's just going to be more goals to go around. Like, even if his, you know, IPP stays at 50 or whatever, like, just the fact that probably twice as many goals are going in for the team, by virtue, he'll get a little bit more points.
He's still going to get his regular hits and his regular blocks and stuff like that. And I mean, I don't think the time on ice is going to dip too much. He's just not going to get a number one power play. And I mean, a number one power play with, you know, as much as we like, you know, the Jared McCanns of the world.
Yeah. Power play one, Seattle. Power play two in Toronto. That's about, yeah,
exactly,
lateral.
Exactly.
That's a lateral move. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And you know what? I honestly think you might see his blocks and hits go up just as a spike when he gets there, right?
Just might as well do that until I figure out the system, right?
He's a captain player, right? Like, he is a captain type player. He knows he's got to rev the guys up. That's part of why they're bringing him in, not just for his hockey. That's a big part of it. So he's going to come in gung-ho for a couple weeks, and I think you'll probably see a lot of blocks and a lot of hits and maybe even a scrap from old Gio.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe.
You heard it here first, folks.
Maybe a mean tweet.
I don't know. Does he tweet? Does he have it? I don't know.
No, I don't think so. He seems like he might have a flip phone.
So the new trades, we're going to start off with Andrew Kopp.
Mark Giordano has a Motorola Razr.
Yeah, or a BlackBerry, man. All right, so Kopp and a 2023 sixth go to the Rangers for Morgan Barron, two conditional seconds in 22 or 23, I think is what I read. That's strange, but a fifth round pick also in 23. Morgan Barron, pretty good looking prospect on his way to Winnipeg now. Andrew Kopp, we talked about Vetrano. We talked about Vetrano looking pretty good. Does Kopp pose a threat to Vetrano's spot in that top six? That's a very convincing pause. I think we're on the fence here.
Well, I think, yeah, to me, they got the same guy from different teams. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think they're in direct competition, but I don't know. It's another team that's just stacked right now, and they have like a middle bunch of players who are really interchangeable. Like, got Mott too. He's obviously a tier below these guys, but
yeah,
they have a movable middle six right now. A
lot of bangs. So many bangs. That's been their MO all off season. I remember shitting on them. Like, you know, you spent your off season and you got Ryan Reeves to show for it and Barclay Goodrow. And now they're adding like Mott and Vetrano and Kopp, and you can kind of see what they want their identity to be. It's working.
They're moving in a really smart direction.
I mean, they already have Lafreniere and you know, the guys, Zibanejad and everybody who can score. If you look at their whole lineup right now, the trick is just chemistry. If they get chemistry, that lineup actually looks pretty playoff ready, man. It looks pretty. And then you get Shesterkin in there.
Shesterkin at the top, man. He is the keystone to the whole operation at this point. Them and their power play. So, I mean, if that shit clicks.
I don't remember the last year where we've had so many teams that are just like, that were just like, hey, this is the year we're going all in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, it seems early in their rebuild.
You've always had, you know, the Lightning and the Capitals, and, you know, you can throw the Bruins in there, but it's like, now you have the Rangers and Carolina is a serious contender. And, you know, you still obviously have the Avs, and the the Panthers, there's so many teams that are just like, we're going all in. This playoffs, and not even, it doesn't even have to do with fantasy, but this playoffs, I am really fucking looking forward to them. Really,
I'm stoked. I'm stoked. Yeah, that's been, I mean, the New York Rangers, they've been drafting talent. They had a core of talent, and every acquisition they've made this year has just been Braun, and literally Justin Braun they got. So, I mean, it works. Like, they just get beefy dudes, and it's working. And I wonder, this is something I plan to look up later on, but I wonder if the acquisitions they made today, those players are particularly good at drawing penalties, just based on how like good their power play has been and how much they're leaning on that right now. I wonder if they purposefully got Andrew Kopp because he draws a lot of penalties, or like any of these guys. Mott, I don't know if he's, you know, particularly known for that. I feel like he's a PIM guy.
He causes penalties.
He's a super PK guy, actually. He's decently talented. He's actually that one stretch where he was 5 hits a game for like 2 months for some reason. He doesn't usually do that, actually. But no, he'll be cool, but he's like a fourth line guy there. Good for the team. But.
I think it works, yeah. I mean, that's something worth looking into, as if, you know, they just picked up a bunch of guys to get them more power plays, because that's huge. They got a bunch of in-your-face guys. Ryan Reeves, if he even touches the ice in the playoffs, but that's what that is.
On the checkinest checking line there ever were. Tyler Mott, Barkley Goodrow, and Ryan Reeves. Ooh. Just the checkinest checking line there is.
You remember that Josh Anderson, Boone Jenner, and Nick Foligno line in Columbus? Yeah. This might be the bangiest line since then. That was a banger line in Columbus. That was good.
After you play that line, you know it. You fucking know it.
It's like 30 hits just from that line. All right. So Andrew Kopp, Frank Vatrano, take your bets right now. Put your name down for one. Who do you got?
Frankie V.
I like Kopp.
I think Kopp's better suited for a third line, so I am going to go with Frankie V here. I'm going to do you guys one better. What happens when Kaapo Kakko comes back?
Well, then don't you think that, you know, Kakko might be going back to the second line, and then Vatrano and Kopp would be on the same third line?
That's ultimately what I
think. Yeah, that's kind of what I think.
What I think is going to pan out regardless. And like I said before,
short-term boost.
I think they'll probably try both, right? Like,
might as well.
Yeah.
Figured out now.
And the coach has got to get to know the guys, and the guys get to get to know the guys, and blah, blah, blah. So I think there'll be some movement there. And
all right, so Andrew Kopp leaves Winnipeg, and in his wake, 1948 average time on ice. Those minutes got to go to somebody else. He is a big shorthanded player. He was getting tons of power play time on ice too. So you imagine that gets divvied up amongst everybody. I think Nikolai Ehlers starts to get a little bit better with the minutes that need to get picked up. But I think that's the only fallout in Winnipeg. Cogliano to Colorado for a 2024 fifth. This one, I don't know. Colorado gets faster. I don't think there's anything for fantasy for us.
Nah.
All right. Arturi Lehkonen to Colorado as well for defenseman Justin Barron. Both Barron brothers get traded today. And a 2024 second. Lehkonen having a bit of a run lately with Montreal. We were talking about this before we went on the air. He's been playing middle six with Dvorak and Armia. And I, real quick, I just want to stick tap to Rem Pitlick right now, who has 18 points in 26 games since Montreal claimed him. And he's got 9 points in his last 10. So I don't know what Rem Pitlick is doing now, but the guy deserves a little bit of attention at this point. Let's talk about Arturi Lehkonen. And I guess we could talk Cogliano, because for me, I got them both in the bottom six in Colorado. What do you guys think?
These are both depth moves, and they're smart moves. Don't get me wrong. I think they're smart moves. I like Arturi Lehkonen in that bottom six. Like, they're starting to fill it out where it's not, oh, hey, somebody on our top line is hurt. We're fucked for now until we can, you know, piece things together and figure it out. Like, that top six was so strong and is so strong. They really are, even without Landeskog. But you need some rolling lines in the playoffs to win, or else people are just going to bang around your top line and your top six, and then you're screwed. You know what I mean?
All right, moving on. Unless you got anything for Lehkonen in there, Raj? Nothing here for fantasy.
They can plan on going deep in the playoffs and you can plan on losing somebody in the playoffs. That's all these guys are for.
There it is. Backup plans. Speaking of which, Nick Leddy to St. Louis for defenseman Jake Walman and forward Oscar Sundquist for, and a 2023 second round pick. Pretty big haul for Detroit here. Doesn't have a ton on the Nick Leddy side, I don't think, but I'm curious what you guys think about Oscar Sundquist in Detroit. They also shipped out Namestnikov to Dallas, so that opens up a wing spot. He'll probably fit right in there in the middle six. He looks pretty comfy behind Raymond and Zadina on the third line. Anything there for you guys with Sundquist?
Nah.
I wish he could fit into that top six. I do.
I know. You're a big fan of him. Yeah, so he's been somebody you liked in the past. I was hoping you'd have like an optimistic take on this one.
I mean, shit, he was on the first line in St. Louis.
Yeah, at times, for sure.
For the bulk of the season. And I understand. I mean, I like the top line in Detroit the way it is. You're not moving Raymond. You're obviously Larkin is your center. And Verano was gotten for a reason. And usually Tyler Bertuzzi is up there anyway. But, man, it just sucks because I do. I like Oscar Sundquist. And I think he's kind of getting the shin of the stick there.
Sucks. But that's the price of doing business. All right. We got all the kind of like tinkertail small ones out of the way. Marc-Andre Fleury goes to Minnesota. I'm wearing my Minnesota jersey right now for a conditional 2022 first round pick. Simultaneously, Minnesota trades Kaapo Kähkönen to San Jose because of how much Zach likes Kaapo Kähkönen and how much Zach dislikes San Jose. You said it was a very karmic trade.
Yeah, that was my initial.
It seems fitting. These are the hockey gods trying to teach you open-mindedness at this point. So do you still like Kaapo Kähkönen here? Let's start off there.
I can still like Kaapo Kähkönen and still not like the Sharks because that's not going to just automatically make me like the Sharks.
Now you got Jonathan Dahlin that you like. You got Kaapo Kähkönen. Like, how long before you like this? Do they need to buy out Vlasic? Is that what they need to do for you to like this team?
Oh, Mark Edward Vlasic, he does suck.
Is that what they need to do? They need to buy him out? Because Burns and Carlson, like, they still serve a purpose. But, you know, Vlasic is the sore thumb contract there.
I think as long as Brent Burns is on that team, like, there's no chance that I like them.
What do you think Kaapo Kähkönen's season looks like? James Reimer is back. They have Aiden Hill still. I think Kähkönen signed for one more year, so they're going to want to see what they got. And Reimer, I think, is a free agent.
Yeah, that's right. He's an RFA. But the whole thing is that the odd part was when Kähkönen got in on it with they traded him to San Jose. The thought was, I think, around the National Hockey League, and I'm sure a ton of teams made calls, that Reimer was going to be on the move. Like, why do we need three goalies into next year?
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, it's not like you're paying any of them a ton of money. Like, I think Reimer's owed, like, you know, a little over $2 million. Aiden Hill is a little over $2 million. Kaapo Kähkönen just becoming a restricted free agent. It's not like they don't have time to figure it out. It's just weird going into next year with three goalies. So you got to wonder what's going to happen with that. As far as this year goes, it looks like Aiden Hill is going to be placed on injured reserve. So that might, you know, figure that situation out for this season. But it's really next season is where the question marks are going to arise.
Well, I think they're going to want to ride Kähkönen next year. So I have them testing out Kähkönen this year. I think they're going to play with him a little bit. They're going to give him some leash, see what he's got. My fear is that Kähkönen is, we're going to see his true colors. Like, I think the curtain gets pulled back on him a little bit. This is not as good a team.
That's not fair. We're going to see his true colors, and he's just going to get thrown to the wolves. He is the chum.
In the water, in the Sharks, yeah.
Fuck!
We'll talk about this when we get to Fleury, but Minnesota has such a better defensive system. By evolving hockey's metrics, they're second best defensive system in the league right now. You know, I can't imagine what the Sharks are.
They're probably 36 because it starts to wrap around. Like, you know, when you lap somebody in a race, that's what's happening.
All right, yeah. I think things are not going to be comfortable for Kaapo Kähkönen for a while.
Sucks.
So I think his dynasty value goes down, and I'm sorry to anybody that has Kähkönen. So sorry. I really don't think
we have Kähkönen.
But I don't, maybe in one league, but I don't think so. Not in our main league, Dynasty. Our goalie system is fucked there. Anyway, Alexei Melnichuk was moved to Tampa. And yeah, our main goalies are good. But anyway, Melnichuk was traded from San Jose to Tampa. So Tampa picks up a pretty decent goalie prospect right now. And they make room for the Barracuda. So I think somebody's going down. Somebody's going down. So watch that. But anyway, let's talk Fleury and the impact that it has to Cam Talbot, impact it has to Fleury's value. What are we thinking? Like, first off, are we adding Marc-Andre Fleury at this point? I imagine his ownership has gone fucking through the roof.
If he's not available anywhere, I'm grabbing him. I mean, shit. The only problem with Minnesota was their goalie.
I don't think that he's going to get more starts, though.
Oh, who cares? The quality starts are just amazing. Like, the only problem in Minnesota is their goalies weren't performing. Their team's great. Everything about him is great. Fleury's going to walk in, get everyone jazzed up. It's going to be one last kick at the can. I think it's fucking great.
Yeah, he is 94% rostered right now. Yeah.
The whole thing is he's going to get less starts. Now, I understand that, like, the quality of the starts is, you know, presumably going to be better, but he's going to get less of them. You have to think that it's still going to be a timeshare. Like, a timeshare, like, split down the fucking middle. Why would it not be?
Because I know, like, Cam Talbot's on a 4-game winning streak, and currently he shut out the Knights. So 5-game winning streak, including a shutout. So I do think, like, they're going to want to see what they have in Fleury. They're going to let him get his pads. Hopefully they're all solid Hunter Green. That'll be solid.
He's Marc-Andre Fleury. You know exactly what you have.
Yeah, but I think that's number one. That's why they picked him up. I think they're going to let him run with it a little bit. I think if it's a 50-50, it tilts in Fleury's favor. They'll go 1-1 and 1-1 and figure out, like, you know, who's the hot hand at the moment. But I think Fleury's got a better chance of being hot.
Well, that's a grossly different system than Chicago. So he's going to have to get some games in. I mean, you can be as veteran as you want, but you got to play with the team. There's no practice time. There's no system practice time or anything. So I think he's at least 50%, at least.
Is that more than 60, taking the over?
When is the last time somebody won the Stanley Cup that had a straight up split tandem goalieship like this?
That's why I think they're like, I would have Fleury game one of the playoffs. I would have Fleury out for game one.
Yeah, but once you get to the playoffs, like, that is not the time to be switching goalies back and forth. It's just not. Usually run with one goalie, and what, you're supposed to take that guy out and then we're going to put the next guy in for, you know, the next series? That's not how it works. Don't get me wrong. I don't have a problem with goalie tandems, but when's the last time it worked in the playoffs? When's the last time somebody won a Stanley Cup by doing that?
I don't know. I know Leonard and Fleury were there last year.
How'd that work out?
It's not common for teams to have two starting goalies as their tandem. And I think, you know, Minnesota's in a rare place right now, so we're going to have to wait and see. As of right now, before we've seen any games, knowing what Cam Talbot's recent work looks like, his body of work, I still think Marc-Andre Fleury pulls volume rest of the way. And I think he probably winds up, I'm not saying like 3-1 volume. I'm saying like, you know, 3-2 volume. I'm not saying he gets 75% of the starts. I think it's close to 60.
Good old fashioned 60-40, huh?
Yeah, 60-40, something
at
like
least,
that.
Yeah, at least.
And I'd probably still bet the over on 60. So I love this move for Marc-Andre Fleury. His value goes way up. I think Cam Talbot's value goes down. That's the period at the end of the sentence. For me, at least, like I think Cam Talbot, with how he's playing right now, he deserves another start. But I think just the curiosity and the itch, Evason's going to need to play Fleury. Just need to.
So what happens with Lankanen in this situation?
Lankanen is going to pull volume and it's going to suck. He's going to have 75% roast beef sandwiches volume rest of the way.
He's going to get a key card. Awful. And a fucking badge. And a little thing to put in his ear, because he's going to be working the night shift at Arby's, because he is going to get rocked.
Oh, man. It's tough. I don't know, man. I got my money on Fleury here. That's where I'm going to stay.
100%
Fleury. And I'm right there with you. I think Lankanen starts pulling volume. So, like, if you're in a volume league, I'm seeing a lot of people adding Vemelka right now. because he's going to get volume. Wedgwood got traded, so there's that little wrinkle there. But I think the same thing. You can do that. Like, if you're looking for shitty starts, but a lot of them, Vemelka and Lankinen, they're your guys.
Shots against.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
When are we going to talk about Marcus Johansson going back to the Washington Capitals?
I don't know if he scores. Man, this Edmonton-Colorado game is pretty fucking good right now. Yamamoto's got 2 points. So
it's my guy.
There's that. He's got a goal and an assist by now. So we're going to talk about him. This is another multi-point game. I think it's 4 in a row for him now. Fucking crazy.
Actually, it's 4 in 5 games. His last game, he had 0 points.
Oh, okay. Well, can't do it every game. So let's talk about Rickard Rakell. Old Rickard Rakell here, boys. For Zach Aston-Reese, Dominic Simone, and a second round pick. And I think this one has some potential. So I think this Rakell trade does have some potential here. Okay, so he plays both wings. Do you think it's Heinen who gets the bump down or Evan Rodriguez who gets the bump down?
I hope it's Heinen.
Yeah, I think so.
But
Rodriguez has been great. Well, I guess Heinen's had his flashes, but Rodriguez has been pretty solid this year. I like him better.
Even though that I hope it's Heinen, if you put Evan Rodriguez on the third line, it makes that third line a lot sexier than if you put Danton Heinen down there. It makes a top nine a lot more viable because then I feel like you're hiding Danton Heinen.
So trickle-down effect, that's got to be good for Jeff Carter on the third line then, yeah?
Yeah, and we were just talking about Jeff Carter yesterday. The only thing is, I mean, Jeff Carter is a shooter and so is Evan Rodriguez.
Well, if you put Danton Heinen down there, if he's the guy that gets bumped out.
The more I think about it, I like Danton Heinen on that second line as opposed to Evan Rodriguez, just because I do like the scoring capabilities of a Jeff Carter and an Evan Rodriguez. Even though they may be fighting for shots on goal, the scoring capability of that third line going against every other third line in the NHL with Kasperi Kapanen on there as well, it's a good look. It's a really
Carter and
good
Rodriguez have really good chemistry together too, so I don't mind that either. Keep an eye on where Rakell plays. He is expected to play tomorrow, so today when this episode comes out. But yeah, they're going to look at him. They're going to see where he fits in, whether it's the left wing or the right wing. I think it'd probably be Heinen, Malkin, Rakell. So good for Heinen, really good for Rakell. I think, like, you know, I'm not shitting on Zegras or anything, but I think Malkin's Malkin.
Yeah, it's a whole other class of player, right? And it's a different, yeah, it's just a whole other world to be in Pittsburgh's top six than to be in Anaheim's top six. Like, that's pretty exciting. I think if Rakell's available, which he is actually, I'd be all over that. If he gets excited, he likes to hit.
He's the number one most added player today.
I think that makes a lot of sense for sure. But yeah, I think it's just great. And yeah, he's been known to peripheral as well. So fantasy wise, yeah, like I said, if he gets excited, he's a excellent. Like a few years ago, he was everybody's darling, right? Like he was one of the guys that filled all the categories and blah 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 blah.
Ricky Racks.
Yeah, if he can get back to those days, that's great.
But the whole thing is, and even on the Penguins, we've seen them make these big trades and they work for a couple of games and then they fizzle. Then they fizzle out.
Yep.
You got to.
Jason Zucker.
Yeah. Paging Jason Zucker. Jason is a perfect example of that happening. Jason Zucker came out the gate fucking flaming hot. He had like four points or something like that in his first 3 games. And then, yeah, where's Jason Zucker now? You know?
MIA.
I like Rakell a heck of a lot better than I ever liked him.
I mean, if we're being honest, he's on IR right now. So,
oh, yeah, he's still on the Penguins, Jason Zucker.
Yeah, technically.
He's still on the Penguins. Not like he's out of the league or anything like that. But all I'm saying is, have we, you know, really even talked about Jason Zucker at all this year? Like, has he been viable since he went to the Penguins? No, we said, honestly, I liked Jason Zucker and his fantasy impact more when he was on the Wild 2 fucking years ago. Jason Zucker is a non-commodity.
Never wanted him.
All right, so this has got to be good. I think it's good for Brian Rust, too, because they were experimenting with Brian Rust on the second line. It didn't have the same
panache,
you know, oomph that it did when, yeah, panache maybe when he's playing with Crosby. And Rust is on our trends list, so we're going to get into the sustainability of Brian Rust's season after these last couple trades. Dadonov to Anaheim is one that we're talking about. Okay, so real quick, just to recap on Raquel, we're all like pretty stoked on this one, and you know, he is the number one added, most added player right now, and I think that's wise. I think go for it. Yeah, I'm very interested to see what happens here. Dadonov to Anaheim. There is so much buttfuckery going on with this that it's hard to really, like, Dadonov, the tweets are still coming out. Dadonov is adamant, is the word that Elliot Friedman uses, that his no trade list was filed on time. Anaheim is on that no trade list. So does this trade even exist at this point? We don't know. You know, Vegas is just fucking things up. Don't know what they're doing. I don't know. It's a fucking mess. So this one is not even worth talking about. You know, Trevor Zegras loses Raquel as a line mate. You know, Dadonov was going to be the replacement maybe or whatever, but you know, this just sucks for Dadonov. Maybe good for like a Comtois or whatever, getting a couple games till they figure out what the fuck is going on here. But I don't know. Should we just save this one until we find out what's going on?
I just think it's funny. That's all. I just loved, I think I tweeted about it earlier, I just loved seeing Ryan Kessler's contract be a part of a trade deal. Still, oh, yeah. He's still making people on his team mad. But now what happens if it does go through? Now he's like, he has to go to the team that he just said, I'm like, absolutely don't want to go to this team, but now here I am.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be an awkward room. The last trade that I wanted to talk about tonight was Brassard to Edmonton, and it's not for Brassard. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins coming back later this week. Does Brassard pretty much prevent RNH from being a third line center anymore?
I hope so.
I hope so too. That just makes sense.
I hope so. The only thing is, I don't want to see Kyle Yamamoto get the fucking boot right when he's, you know, really starting to turn it on. Like, he is really looking good right now.
So hot right now.
Way too hot right now. Personally, you know, you have a Fogel, Brassard, and Hyman line. To me, that's what happens. It just makes sense to have Ryan Nugent-Hopkins on the left side of Draisaitl where Hyman is right now. Hyman does play a pretty good checking role. Third line can be your checking line, whatever. That's how I see it shaken out. So I think the Brassard trade will eventually be bad for Hyman, but I have some doubts about Yamamoto's sustainability, so I don't think that we're talking a rest of season bad for Hyman type of move here. But that's that. Should we move into trends? Does anybody have anything to say on Edmonton at least?
Well, that's fine. I think in fact, you know, if we're moving trends, we can just start with Kyle Yamamoto. Because he was actually brought up in our, you know, trends page in the Discord. If you ever want if you ever want to hear somebody talked about, I mean, we try to get to everybody. But I mean, we do our best. But Kyle Yamamoto was definitely in there. And as far as Kyle Yamamoto goes, I feel like this is, you know, more of a regression back to the mean, considering, you know, the 6 points in his first 28 games. That wasn't the real Kyler Moto, and nor was the 1 point in his first 13 games. Yeah. I mean, I drafted Yamamoto myself, and, you know, I dropped him, but I did that because of the former. I did that because of the 1 point in 13 games and whatnot.
As one does.
But, you know, even though they made this one little splash, I think that this is more of a regression back to the mean in facts of, you know, he's not that bad of what you saw earlier in the season. And I'm not saying he is this good because he can do it, but he's going to be somewhere in the middle, like these trends often are. You know what I mean? He's not a 8 points in 10 game, you know, all of these multi-point games. Like, he has 4 multi-point games in 5 games. That's pretty fucking nuts. That's not going to happen often. But what I do like is that him being on the Oilers are on a push to make the playoffs. And you know how I feel about having players on my team that are on a push. Kyle Yamamoto checks that box.
He does. Yeah. The shooting percentage is a little suspect. You know, another 2 points tonight with one of them being a goal. You got to love the deployment. So like you were saying, 2 point games don't happen often, but they do happen more often when you're playing next to Connor McDavid. So that's huge. Just the fact that he's deployed next to Evander Kane, who's really hot right now, and Connor McDavid, who is always hot. Keep in mind, his multi-point games were against Detroit, Buffalo. He did have one against Tampa Bay, and he currently has one against Colorado. So that's 50% shit teams, 50% really good teams. So take that for what it is.
He's such a streaky player. Like, I think he's always on the hot or cold list. He's not a lukewarm kind of guy usually. So he's quite available right now, 14%. So I think he's worth, you know, like the old saying a wise man once said, unsustainable. So that only matters in the long run. Hang on right now. They got another game tomorrow. They got some pretty decent games coming up, Arizona and San Jose. So.
Gotta ride
Now's
him.
The time. Now's the time.
Gotta ride him. Yeah. Watch how things shake up with Brassard coming in. I don't think they're touching Yamamoto just based on how hot he is. So I think he's safe for now. But what Zach was saying, self-correction compressed all into like six games, which is nuts. And great for us. Great for us fantasy. So good on you, Yamamoto. I don't see 36% shooting, 38% shooting being the whole thing. In the whole picture here. So let's continue with this like unsustainable doesn't mean it's impossible trend. And let's start off with a couple or a few Arizona Coyotes. And first and foremost is Nick Ritchie. I feel like he's been on trends a couple times, or not Nick Ritchie, Nick Schmaltz. He's been on trends a couple times over the last few weeks, but you know, I was going back just to try and find when his hot streak started. And it's like, it's game six of this year. It's game six. And he's been hot and unsustainably hot since game six. So we're looking at what? Fucking 38 points where he's shooting 26, or 38 games where he's shooting 26%. You know, over the last 16 games, he's got 26 points. He's on 133 point pace. Like, he's been a McDavid since February.
Yeah.
It's all even strength too, but like, what do you guys got on Schmaltz, Zach? I know he's one of your favorite guys here. Do you have anything on him?
Well, as far as, you know, both Schmaltz and Kras goes, I think they're both really great talents on a really bad team.
Mm-hmm.
It is too bad that they're on the Coyotes, but I think the silver lining from what I can see here, and you know, it's the same as at the same time where, you know, while I do like teams that are on a push, what I don't like is teams that are coasting, you know, and I don't think that the Coyotes are really in coast mode. They got nothing to lose. They got nothing to play for. If anything, they have pride to play for and just wanting to go out there and ruin people's day. So
it's playing spoiler
where there's a Nick Schmaltz who is, you know, a goal scorer. I think there's nothing saying that he can't keep going out and scoring points. I think for Lawson Crouse, there's nothing saying that he can't go out there and keep playing a 200-foot game like he does already play. Now, what I am thinking is that the Coyotes are going to come back down to earth. And in the last two games, instead of scoring, you know, 5 goals, 6 goals, 9 goals and shit like that, they've scored 3 goals in the past two games. Now, I think that the Coyotes are going to come back down to earth. But I think that Nick Schmaltz is going to be on the goals that they do score. I think that Lawson Crouse is going to be, you know, somewhat on the goals that they do score, and he's still going to be a well-rounded talent. I don't think that either of them really lose anything or gain anything here. I'm a little surprised that the Coyotes didn't make some more moves as far as shipping some people out to get some pieces for them, because it would have been kind of cool seeing Lawson Crouse go
anywhere.
Lawson Crouse, I think, would actually, as much as I hate to say it, would have played really well on the Bruins. I think Lawson Crouse to the Bruins would have been fucking amazing for Lawson Crouse. Mm-hmm. It's just his style of play. He would have looked really good. I would have hated him playing for that team. I hate the fucking Bruins, but
That would have been a Rangers move, man, with the amount of hits that he's got.
Ooh, he would have looked good on the Rangers, well too.
Yeah, that'd have been something. Okay, so Kraus, 10 points in his last 10. Six of them are goals. That's on 18 shots. He's shooting 33%. That's tough to swallow. You know, all these Arizona players are looking really good and tying right into with what Zach's saying. Like, in the last 10, their opponents have been Ottawa twice, Detroit, Montreal, San Jose. You know, on the other side, you have Toronto, Boston, Colorado, and Pittsburgh. But you look at Kraus's numbers, only one of his points are against those good teams. So, I mean, they are feasting on other bad teams. So, like, they're hanging out in their weight class right now, and they're really thriving with it. Like Zach said, I think they're coming back down to earth. But, terrible time for Vemelka, because I think there's a ton of hype around him.
I haven't dropped Nick Schmaltz.
You shouldn't. He's been scoring as much as Connor McDavid since February, which is insane. So, I don't know. For me, Kraus, I think they're both going to come back down to earth. Schmaltz, you know, the numbers say unsustainable, but I think he's riding this out, and I think I might too. I wouldn't drop him until it's like, it's a cold streak that's just undeniable. Like, you can't, it's unmistakable. So, I don't know. Raj, what's your reads on this this Arizona bullshit?
Pretty much the same. I mean, it's none of these guys or the team is going to keep up the scoring pace they've had. I just don't see Nick Schmaltz as a equal to Connor McDavid season long. But at the same time, take it while it's there, right? You know, Kraus has been a talented player all the way back to junior. He's it's not totally crazy for, we know him for hits because he hits a lot, but he is a talented player as well. So.
Oh, he does it. Yeah, he does it all.
Yeah, he's a great player. So yeah, they're available. They're easy to get. All these guys are multi-eligible players usually, so easy to put in your lineup. I like it. But I mean, Schmaltz has had two games now with no points. They got Seattle up next, so you know, it might be the start of the end of it. Like, they spent a pretty good healthy start to the season showing us how bad they can be, so hopefully it doesn't go back to then.
What do you make of Nick Ritchie? He's got 7 points in his last 10 games. Or no, in 11 games with Arizona, shooting like 24%. He's on the fourth line. His minutes actually went up since Toronto. But what do you think?
I
can't get on the Nick Ritchie train. Nah. I'm sorry. I can't do that one. I understand he's playing well right now, but I just can't. I can't get behind you on that one. Lawson Kraus, I'm listening. Nick Schmaltz, I'm listening. I'm on those wagons. Nick Ritchie, you can be on that one. That's fine.
Maybe it's something like, you know, teams don't get up for a game against Arizona, and they especially don't get up for the fourth line in Arizona. You know what I mean? Maybe he's just lucking out with that. I don't know. But maybe it's a symptom there. I think he's like he's a decent stream. Like, if he's just free, you know, little low level curbside freebie going on there, like, but he's scoring at a 52 point pace from the fourth line in Arizona. That just doesn't sound right.
He does hit, but he's weird, right? He had 5 shots in 12 minutes last game, and then the game before that he had no shots, but he then had 5 hits. And then, so in a categories league, if you're just looking for stuff, he's a good option. But you never quite know what you're going to get exactly, but you get stuff usually. So
usually
in 12-13 minutes.
The only thing is, Raj, I'm only interested in double stuff.
Yeah,
so the only player left to talk about is Toivo Teravainen.
And Brian Rust.
Well, I feel like we already kind of, you know, talked about Brian Rust a little bit. Do you want to talk about Brian Rust instead? I mean, I'm always fine to talk about Brian Rust.
Yeah, I mean, he is on a 96-point pace right now. He's shooting more than ever. Right around his career average shooting percentage. He's already broken a career high for power play points. He's got more power play time on ice than ever. Like, I really think his production...
Why is he on this trends episode?
Because he's doing so well, and people are worried that he's going to break down. I think there was a three-game pointless streak that maybe freaks some people out. This was submitted by news feeds.
I thought it was because maybe he had 1 assist in his last 4 games, and... prior to the last game, he had 3 games where he had no points. Is the second time this season that he has had no points. Do you know how many games all season he has had with no points?
Well, three of them were in the last four games.
The answer is 15.
So got to be more than three.
Do you know how many multi-point games he has this season?
Let's go with nine.
The answer is 16. He has 16 multi-point games this season and 15 games where he has no points. I think tit for tat, he's doing okay. So these last three games where he doesn't have a point, you need to slow your fucking roll. He's good. He's not even good. Yeah, he's fantastic. I like this
look for him.
He's fantastic. Brian Rust is freaking awesome.
At this point in the season, you're not trading him and you're not dropping him, so you're hanging on to him. You're definitely not going to drop Brian Rust because he had a bad couple of games.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely not.
I think it was just like a worry, like, can he keep this pace the rest of the way?
Why not?
Him with the Malkin line didn't look so great. I got him down. Like, I like this. I like it. Like, a lot of it is that power play. 40% of his goals are on the power play, 36% of his assists on the power play. So he's got a lot of his points tied up on that power play, but I don't see that going anywhere. I don't see the power play. You know, last year, the power play took a really long time to get moving. Really long time. This year, it's clicking. He's on there. Nobody's taking it from him. This is, I think, what we're looking at for Brian Rust. 96-point pace right now.
He's good. He's good. Get used to it.
95-point over-under. What are you guys thinking? I got him for, like, 90 seems 90 real.
90 does seem real. He's well real. Over a point per game. Yeah. He's well over a point per game right now.
Well over.
What's saying that he can't?
Yeah.
Keep doing these multi-point games. He's been doing it all year long. It's not like it just, you know, started, in the past month. He's been doing really well. No, the entire season, from the start to the season to now, he has been doing fucking awesome. I think people need to start believing in Brian Rust. I don't know. Is it just his name? He doesn't have, you know, a hockey enough name for you. What is it? I don't get it.
I don't mind it.
I don't know. His profile picture kind of says real estate agent a little bit, but he's I like him. I think he's excellent.
I would buy a house from Brian Rust. It would probably be a fucking double wide trailer, but I'd buy a house from him. Okay, so I think we're all in agreement. Brian Rust, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Lastly, new feeds. Also brought up Toivo Teravainen. He has been slumping a little bit, but this is going to be another political answer for you. And it's, you know, after getting, you know what, he had 14 points in like 12 games or something like that. He's been on a slide. He got that suspension. Since then, he has one assist in his last six. Now, that suspension obviously didn't help. You know, it seemed to kind of cut everything in half. But at the same time, the Canes are, you know, kind of falling off a little bit. I'm pretty sure they dropped the last four games in a row.
Yeah.
But still, this seems like a perfect example of, you know, something in between the two extremes is what he is. You know, he's not 14 points in 12 games, even though he can, you know, he does have a really good on ice, you know, kind of chemistry with Sebastian Aho. And as long as Sebastian Aho is playing very well, Toivo Teravainen likely is too. I'm pretty sure they're countrymen, are they not? Like, they play on the same team all the time, kind of thing. But he's not one assist in six games, Toivo Teravainen, either. Again, this is gonna be a political answer, but he's somewhere in between. I mean, it's just true. I hate to burst people's bubble with this kind of stuff, but no, he's not that bad. No, you're not going to drop him. And if you do, then you deserve to reap the rewards of somebody else's, good play in the future.
Carolina's weird. Like, they don't score heaps. Like, if you look at their last 10 or so games, if they score two goals, they lose. If they score three goals, they win. But it's always two or three goals. They're just the most... They're a great hockey team, obviously, but it's not like a Tampa or a Toronto where they're going to score six goals or bust.
No, but they're a team that can win a cup because they either win and they lose a bunch of one-goal games.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's this is a little down dip for Teravainen, and it's bound to be followed by a little uptick like it was right before this. So I think, again, you're not going to pick this guy up at this point in just about any league. So if you have him, hang on to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe bench him against Tampa Bay if it comes down to it, if you're feeling sad. But I think he's you know, he'll come right back to where he usually is.
Yeah, this last 10 games, they've either scored 3, 2, or 0 goals the whole span. Like, they got shut out twice. Their goals for per game is 2.1. Power play is at 15%. The whole team is feeling it. So, like, Teuvo only has 4 points in his last 10. So that 1 point in the last 6, I guess he got 3 points in 4 before his suspension. But, man, those 4 points in that 10, that's good for third on the team. Aho and Trocheck have 6 points in the last 10. Stahl has 5. And then Ethan Bear, Svechnikov, and Turbo all have 4. So this really is, it's just the team slump. I'm not worried. I'm just waiting for the Carolina Hurricanes, who are a good fucking team, to turn things around offensively. And I do believe that's going to happen.
Yeah, Rod Brind'Amour ain't going to put up with continued shit.
Nah, I brought in Max Domi, who we didn't talk about. Let's talk about Max Domi. Let's talk about him. It's the trade deadline special. I forgot all about him. And I think you should too.
I think by not talking about him, we kind of talked about
him. That was our take. It was, I don't know, man. Carolina, like, they mix up their lines so fucking much. It's hard to think of, like,
yeah
they're going to try Domi on the first line. Everybody's going to get all wet for him and they're going to pick him up. And then halfway into the game, he's playing on the third line. And then by the final period, he's scratched. I don't know. Like, Rod Brind'Amour is crazy. Those lines do not stay the same. So, I, you know, middle six-ish is where I have Max Domi.
I think he's going to fit well, actually, in Carolina.
Why?
Yeah, do I do, actually.
Defense that Brind'Amour preaches? I don't know that he does.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Do you think they'd go get him if they didn't think that?
Maybe Waddell. Waddell and Brind'Amour, maybe not on the same wavelength, but...
No, I think it'll be good. I think that rugged, you know, intense kind of presence is going to be great for Domi.
I think they had to do something. They're looking at the rest of the teams doing something, and they didn't, so they went out and got Domi. I feel like
it's something, yeah. All right.
I'm not talking about, like, it's not fantasy relevant something, I don't think, but
I think it's worth keeping an eye on, because there's going to be times when he gets, like, you're going to have to really keep a pulse on this one. He's going to get on the top line, and then the next game he's going to be on the third, and then the next game he's going to be on the second. So, like, you know, when his deployment is good, go for it. And when it's not, fucking pitch him to the wolves. Like, just see ya. That's that. I you know, we hit Teravainen. I think that was pretty good. Yamamoto. We hit that one, Rust, Richie, Schmaltz, Lawson, Kraus. We hit some trends. We hit all the trades. That's it for this episode,
Curtains.
Curtains, we will catch you for the weekend preview. Save some good teams for you guys. So I hope you enjoyed Trades and Trends, our kind of like ultimate draft, or not draft, ultimate trade deadline show and trends. I'm going to, you know, while it's on my mind, if you're digging the show, leave a review on Apple iTunes or Spotify, whatever you want to do. Like, it helps us out and we like to help you guys out. So please. Anyway, love you guys. See ya. Bye.
Love yous.
Love you. Nuggets.